Mr. Beaton, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. So has Boston melted down over there? I don't have the game on television, but
I did off in distress a little while ago.
The city still is standing, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's gotten worse. Yeah, I mean, I saw they jumped all over Matsuzaka, and I was like, okay, that's it for me tonight.
I feel for BI. That's just, I mean, I've never seen somebody manage to put together so many absolute blow-ups. It's another of his. After the Fausto Carmona Cleveland debacle last week.
The thing is I was thinking, Tampa Bay was coming in, I was like, oh man, maybe their offense sucks now. Like, when you think about it, who do they really have? If Longoria is on the disabled list, like, their offense is not that good. So I'm thinking, oh man, like, Tampa Bay might really fall off here, and then they just annihilate Dice K.
And Helixson isn't pitching a great game either. I mean, he's hanging in there, but he's walked five dudes.
Five walks, huh?
Yeah.
How many Ks does he have?
Just one. That's not the ratio you want.
His first start, he had a ton of Ks, Helixson.
Yeah. He'll throw strikes.
Ten Ks. I don't know what it was.
But, hey.
And I was kind of surprised because I don't really think of Helixson as a K machine.
Well, he's just he's a control pitcher with good stuff, so... I guess it looks like to me, although I can't watch the game, that both pitchers are getting squeezed, so then they had to pitch over the plate or pitch walks. I mean, if Daisuke is getting hammered out.
Daisuke just refuses to throw it down the middle, so.
Exactly.
Just paints the corners all day long, but he doesn't have great control, so it doesn't really work out that well for him.
So it looks like the Rays need Manny to beat Daisuke?
Apparently not, no. The Rays, I mean, it's just one game, but I was taken aback at their offensive outburst in this one. I mean, they got Sam Fult leading off.
I went to high school with
Sam
Fult.
Felipe Lopez.
You went to
high school with Sam
Fult. Yeah, he's an Exeter boy. He played baseball with Jeff Johnson.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Sam Fult's having himself a little season here.
Yeah, I didn't even think he was still in the league.
He's another left fielder. Yeah, I don't know. Everybody's going off. Fult has a double, a triple, and a home run tonight.
Are you serious? He only needs a single?
Yeah, he's a single away from the cycle.
Oh my God.
We are in the bottom of the sixth.
Oh my God, he's actually got a shot at it. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, Fult to go for the cycle tonight.
He was like the all-time batting champion at Stanford after Exeter. He put up some absurd batting average, but he just wasn't big enough. He's only like 5'8" or something.
Oh wow, yeah. So not an imposing presence.
No, not at all. I mean, he looked normal in high school, you know. He was just freakishly athletic, but he didn't look like a hulking mass.
It looks like he topped out at 375 his sophomore year at Stanford. He had 375 in 65 games.
Yeah, I think that's the all-time.
That was for OPS of 79.
Yeah, he was a pretty good baseball player. He still is, I guess.
I guess so. He's, 29? So he's not young. But he's having a breakout here.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
the Red Sox are now headed for 2-8.
That's not necessarily where you want to be. I mean, to put it mildly.
Everybody was feeling pretty confident around here after that Yankees series.
Yeah,
like,
I can see
okay,
that.
Okay, they're fine. Like, Beckett dominated last night. Everybody was feeling really good about it. And then they go against Tampa Bay and just get down.
Yeah.
So I guess they're gonna, you know, if they can take the next two of the series, they'll be back on track. But they just jumped all over them in the second. Six runs in the second.
That's just not pretty.
Helixson goes 5.1. Two earned runs, five walks, and a strikeout through 98 pitches.
Not great, but you know what? Since I'm playing against Dice K, the keep will take
oh,
it.
Really?
Yeah. No, I'm telling you, B.I. started...
Somebody has Dice K on the mound tonight?
B.I. did. That's what I was saying. That he has rolled the dice.
Oh,
and
I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah, no, B.I. has been the king of blow-ups. Mike Pelfrey?
What's the opposite of the Midas touch? Because B.I. has it. The Bonomas
yeah.
touch.
He's got a bad touch so far this year. Actually, I want to take a look at his active stats. Check out some of these numbers. Daisuke now has pitched 7 innings, given up 10 earned runs on 3 homers, 5 walks to 4 strikeouts. That's a 12.86 ERA.
Oh, God.
Fausto pitched 3 innings, gave up 10 runs, 2 homers. That's a 30 ERA. Pelfrey, 6 earned runs with a homer in 2 innings. That's a 27 ERA. It's just these, you know, these spot starters or guys he picks up for one appearance and they just have gotten.
It's a parade of horribles. Oh, well.
We'll get
All right.
What else is going on in MLB this past few weeks?
Well, as we mentioned briefly, that the big story which affects the game that we're talking about, the Red Sox Tampa Bay game, is Manny Gate,
Oh my God, Manny! Yeah. Oh, that was all the talk in the radio today. Dan Shaughnessy was like so like bitter and vindictive about the whole thing.
Was he personally offended?
This is the thing. He was like, Manny didn't care about you. Manny doesn't give a damn about you. Like, I don't need Manny to give a damn about me. Like, is that what you're looking for out of sports? Like, for them to personally like you? You're going to be pretty disappointed if that's your criteria of who to like in sports.
I think
he doesn't care about you. Like, of course he doesn't care about me. Why would he possibly care about me? One of the most awesome people to watch hit that you could ever see. His hitting skill was like a genius. And clearly he took some steroids to become a better baseball player. But the kind of hitting genius that Manny had, it has nothing to do with steroids.
No, not at all. And he's just such...
That just helped him pad his stats.
I mean, yeah, maybe he added a home run or two and he didn't spend too much time in the DL during his career, that's for sure. But, you know, he just...
So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, great. Fine. Manny got to be more awesome.
What I will always remember, besides the, you know, great hits and the humor he brought to the game, was the fact that, I don't know if you were there, but Pear Smith had a student at BU who happened to be the younger brother of a guy we went to high school with, which was a weird situation to begin with, and we went over to his place, and, you know, he was pretty well off, and he was renting the place that Manny Ramirez had lived in before he moved into, like, the Ritz-Carlton. And it was, like, the closest apartment you could possibly have to Fenway. It was literally, like, 10 steps away. And when you went out on, like, the patio, it looked out over Kenmore Square. It was a crazy apartment. But Ben told us that when he moved in there, you know, he looks under the sink and he finds, like, a 2.5-foot-tall bong that Manny had left. Which, of course, was now in his prized possession.
I haven't been able to fight because I moved to the Ritz.
Yeah, exactly, you know? So that's what I always remember about Manny, is looking at this bong and thinking, that's spectacular. How can you have that many hits and be stoned all the time?
I just think his at-bats were just absolutely genius. And he was a complete dumbass. But he was a really, really good hitter.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that, you know, it's like, I personally don't put a lot of stock into just, like, raw numbers. Like, I'm more interested in how good a guy is relative to his time that he played
right,
in.
Right.
And, like, you can't just, like, do steroids and do what Manny Ramirez did. That's not, like, how it works.
He was so frightening.
He was the best possible Manny Ramirez that he could possibly be.
Yeah.
Plus some. But that's not, like, me taking steroids and going out and having, like, a lifetime batting average of 317 or whatever it is.
You don't think that it would have the same effect on
500 or more home runs, I think the five highest batting averages are like Ted Williams, you know, Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, Babe Ruth, and Manny Ramirez, something like that.
That's ridiculous.
Among the 500 home run club, the guys that also hit for the highest average, he's like right up at the top.
He was so formidable in that Cleveland lineup before he ever got, I mean, that was just a frightening lineup. When he was batting, was he batting fifth behind Albert Bell, I think? And it was just, I think he hit in like 170 RBIs or something that last year he was in Cleveland.
Yeah, they had like Tommy, they had a sweet lineup.
Yeah, it was absurd. I just remember that lineup just absolutely eviscerating the Central.
Some of these guys, it's funny, I think about, you see their numbers and you're like, holy shit, what if I could have owned him in fantasy baseball? What if you could have had, like, 99 Pedro?
It would be almost unfair.
Like,
you'd have to have,
Raider,
like... Yeah.
Player Raider 55.
Like, he's just throwing down, like, 17 strikeout games, and you're like, that's just not fair.
You're like, that's all I need. I'm actually just going to start him twice in my bullpen.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, it's sad that he just walked away, but, you know, it's almost like, I kind of like the fact that, you know, he didn't make it a big stink, you know, he just walked away, he didn't fight it.
Yeah, I mean, I really could not care less.
Yeah.
It doesn't change my, just, and I say this in response to all the, like, vitriol and fear this has caused. Yeah, well, when it happened, I was like, holy shit, man, he got busted doing drugs and retired. And I was like, yeah. Yeah, of course that's what happened. But it doesn't change anything. It's like, yep, that's definitely how Manny Ramirez retired. Like, he gets caught doing steroids. And he's like, well, peace, I'm going to Spain. Like, it doesn't happen with, like, a respectful ceremony.
No.
Where he, like, comes and gives a speech, and they have, like, they make him, like, an executive of the team in some, like, figurehead role. That's not, like, how Manny Ramirez goes out.
Do you feel like Shaughnessy secretly hopes this is the beginning of two franchises just having, like, an awful stretch, the Red Sox and the Rays, and he can write another book about the curse of Manny Ramirez? Like, and he puts
Shaughnessy is one of these guys that is just takes the whole steroids thing so personally.
He takes everything personally, though. He's
like, especially somebody that purports to be a Red Sox fan. Like, how can you be like, steroids? Like, hey, that was awesome. Like, we got these guys, we did steroids, and we won the World Series.
Yeah.
And it was a fucking team.
It was.
And, like, the most exciting sports you could ever watch. Like, who cares? Who cares? If it was fair to, like, you know, whoever. Say, like, Gabe Kapler was all natural. I sort of doubt it, but let's just say he was. Like, oh, Gabe Kapler could have been in a league where Gabe Kapler is the best player. And I don't want to watch that. Like, I'd rather watch Manny Ramirez on steroids. I mean, there should obviously be rule against it, but I'm just saying, like, it's not... I don't personally feel offended if a player does steroids.
No, I don't at all. That kind of reminds me of another story that's been going on, which fascinates me from another point of view, but I was talking to you about it, and that's the ongoing Bonds trial, which, I mean, I think it's ridiculous that he's on trial anyways, but I was telling you earlier about the testimony that his former mistress gave in court, which is all over, like, every newspaper I've seen, like the New York Times, all of, obviously, the San Francisco and Oakland papers, California, like, the LA Times, and basically...
Yeah, you were saying to me, this is, like, the worst possible thing that could happen when you decide to take a mistress.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're sitting there, you're thinking to yourself quietly, you know, secretly, oh, I could totally have an affair, nobody would find out. Like, what's the worst that happens? I get divorced? No. No, that's not what the worst thing that happens. The worst thing that happens is that the mistress flips on you to the feds and then testifies in open courtroom to how small your balls became and your lack of sexual prowess in, like, excruciating detail. Like,
you have to just sit there and listen to it.
You have to just sit there. And she's sitting there talking about, like, and then his balls got very small and he was unable to get an erection. And, I mean, that is a nightmare. You're just sitting there going, like, I made the worst decision ever.
That is the worst thing that could ever happen when you decide to have an affair.
It's like a skit on, like, Mr. Show or something. Like, I can't even, like, you know, like, the series of bad events that had to happen for you to, you know, you made the bad decision when you were drunk at a bar, you got the number, and then it's like the, you know, the wacky world result that you find out that, oh, somebody's going to testify in court about the size of your junk. Ugh. Just feel bad about it.
The worst thing, I mean, it's like, the Bonds trial is a complete abuse of power by the government.
Yeah.
It's like, should not even remotely be happening.
It is quite possibly one of the greater waste of resources known to man when everybody's state budgets, federal budgets are all being pinched right now. I mean...
And it's like, as I understand it, there's basically like an IRS agent that like went off the reservation and started like going through Balco's trash.
Yeah.
And came up with all evidence that was obtained legally, but it was just like he was just doing it to do it, and got all this info on Balco and unmasked them, and they were committing crimes, so like I guess that's fine, even though it was not really his jurisdiction, but whatever. Now the guy works for the Food and Drug Administration, and they brought down Balco, and they called in Bonds for like a deposition or something, and he lied, or he lied on the stand, and
he lied to federal investigators, I think is really the main crux of it.
So now that's like his crime.
Yeah,
that's
it's like it's basically like perjury.
A tax complaint by a tax agent that was just like, you know, going off and doing his own thing turns into like a perjury trial against Bonds. It just seems ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean it's not. I don't have. I find it hard to believe that that's how judicial resources, as stretched as they are, should be spent. But I mean,
and that leads to Bonds having to sit in a courtroom while his mistress says his nuts are like small, misshapen.
that he had back knee, that his belly got distended and his forehead grew, and that he had to take, like, injections to the ween to get a hard on. Like, I mean, it's awful testimony. Like, I suggest reading it if you want to just kind of get squeamish about, like, the bad, if your ex-girlfriends could just come out of the woodwork and just talk mad.
You're going to do steroids? You're going to do steroids and break the home run records? All right. Check out what happens to you.
But
what we do.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
And then, because Clemens, like, lied to Congress.
Yeah, I know. I know. I mean, it's
which,
it's,
I mean, how stupid can you be? That is pretty bad. I'm going to go to Congress and lie.
I don't know. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous. But speaking of the courtroom, you were interested in the in the Dodger meltdown, which is another fun baseball related.
I mean, the fans are in absolute full revolt.
Yeah.
our friend Evan, when the Dodgers moved to Los Angeles, which is like its own saga.
Yeah.
But when the Dodgers from Brooklyn to Los Angeles, like, was this, you know, I don't know, some kind of pillar of the community guy, and he went out and bought season tickets. And the first season was at the L.A. Coliseum.
Yep.
So he bought season tickets to see the Dodgers play the first season at the L.A. Coliseum, and they had season tickets every year, like, from then on. Like, the grandfather had the tickets, and his dad had the tickets, and, like, he would go to games. I used to go to games with him all the time when we lived out there. And last year, his dad gave up the tickets and was like, I'm not giving another dime to Frank McCourt. And Evan's like, I think I'm going to become an Angels fan. I'm like, well, it's a little rough when you go down there and it's like SpongeBob SquarePants tells everybody to do the seventh inning stretch. Like, it's kind of a lame team, but I don't blame you. Like, that's how bad the Dodgers have gotten.
God, that's just, basically, that's insane. I mean, Dodger Blue, what happened?
It's bad. It's really bad. Between that and the Mets, it's just like, come on.
Oh my God! We have to do it. We have to do a story update because last LOWB down, we talked about Mike Piazza and some of the other ownership possibilities.
Yeah,
and
Bobby Valentine wants to make a bid.
Yeah, yeah. And then it came out over the last couple of weeks that there was yet another group that was potentially interested.
Yeah, this is a new white knight for the Mets.
And it involves a character named Turtle and the rest of the gang from Entourage.
Creator of Entourage and, like, a few of the stars.
It's awful. I can't believe it. I mean...
I believe it was E. It was the guy that plays E who announced...
Eric Murphy, or from the show. I don't know what his real name is.
Kevin Connolly.
That's right.
Kevin Connolly came out and announced, we would like to buy a share of the Mets. It's like, yeah, that's what the Mets need. It's like Turtle.
Well, you want to know what's...
going to solve the problem. Like, money bags, Adrian Grenier.
You want to know how bad the finances for the Mets must be if, you know, LeBron was obviously openly shopping for ownership in some sports team, and he decides to go off and buy a piece of Liverpool. I mean, obviously the Mets must have been on his radar, and somebody must have come to him and be like, well, you can get a piece of the Mets if you want. And he was just like, no, no, I don't want any of that shit. He's just like, I'm going to take a British soccer team.
I mean, and again, it's like basically the Mets and the Dodgers. You have an owner that doesn't have the money to own the team, that is trying to...
And is it now, in
the wake of financial collapse, can no longer get the money, can no longer get the capital under his control to own the team.
And furthermore, doesn't even have the means or the power right now to even organize themselves into, like, a profitable sale. So, like, the estate and the interest, people who have an interest in the estate would block any kind of sale where it would be a loss, too. So, like, they're kind of, it's like a zombie team, both of them. Like, I don't see it being resolved anytime in the near future because there's too many people who have an interest in maintaining the estate, at least until it can be kind of liquidated by creditors or handed out in a divorce, as each case might be. But, I mean, it does not look good in the short term for either team.
Yeah, it's a bad situation. I mean, I think the Mets, at least, I don't know. It's just, you need, I mean, we've said this a million times, but you just need a rich owner that'll throw down the money and let the team run itself. Otherwise, you're just going to be in trouble. I mean, remember when Hank Steinbrenner wanted to, like, trade a bunch of prospects?
Oh, my God.
For Johan Santana? And, like, that was, like, the the Yankees, like, kind of on the teetering on the edge. Like, who's going to actually run the team? And somehow it didn't happen, and they ended up trading him for, like, Philip Humber and Carlos Gomez or something like that.
Unbelievable.
And, but the Yankees hung on to, like, solid prospects. And not that Johan was bad after he came to the Mets, but it's just not the kind of guy you want to trade for, a guy that's going to, like, go down with injuries.
You don't want to mortgage your future on a pitcher.
Yeah, huge extension.
Yeah, crazy.
So it's just, you know. But the Yankees came back. They came back from the edge, you know, and, like, didn't do the deal. So you just don't need to have a team where the owner doesn't have enough money, and you don't need to have a team where the owner wants to, like, run the show. You just need a guy with a ton of money that doesn't want to run the show.
Which is funny because, I mean, just thinking about, like, teams that didn't, you know, that were kind of down in the dumps. Like, the Rangers, you know, kind of managed to get through it, and they managed to put together one of the more frightening offenses I've ever seen in my life.
Nolan
now.
Ryan lead the group of owners?
Yeah, he was the white knight, basically, who came in and saved the team. Or at least the face of it.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's how Texas has gone from being, like, an okay team to being a really great team. They have a really good general manager who they've kept in place even as the ownership changed. The ownership wasn't interested in, like, cleaning house. It was like, this guy's awesome. Just keep doing what you're doing. Nolan Ryan came in and has been, like, the chief executive type guy to,
right,
you know, or, like, the chairman of the board, to come in and, like, steady the ship. And now Texas is on a good trajectory. But if, you know, Turtle and
they don't inspire the same,
buys your team instead of Nolan Ryan, like, that's when you get yourself into trouble.
It's not the same level of gravitas.
Like, I'm okay with Nolan Ryan running my team, but I don't want Mike Piazza.
Well, I don't know. What else has been going on? We got some fast starts by some teams. We're talking about Texas and Baltimore is tearing it up. And
yep, Texas wins another one today.
Yeah.
And they're looking about as good as anybody. The Yankees have looked pretty good. Obviously, they lost 2-3 over the weekend, but still. They look like they're going to be pretty sweet. KC started off strong, I think.
Yep.
Chicago's offense has looked really good. Cleveland is 7-2.
I know. I feel like that's the most shocking, since the two losses they have are atrocious. It's like they got absolutely destroyed a couple games and managed to hold on to some ugly wins, but they're somehow 7-2. So, you know, kudos to them.
Right now, Philly looks good in the East, Cincinnati looks good in the Central, and the West. I mean, other than maybe the Dodgers, seems like that's a little up for grabs. Colorado looks good. Obviously, San Francisco is going to be in the mix.
Yeah, well, KFP has been tearing the Kung Fu Panda, tearing the cover off the ball. And
yeah, he's back. He lost a ton of weight. Yeah. He's back in form now.
I still haven't. I can't wait to get out there and see him in person. But on TV, he looks spectacular.
But so, he's back. Back.
So who do you have as the early favorites for the various different, you know, obviously we're only like 10 days into the season, but early favorites.
I mean, if a calamity were to occur in the season within today, I would say that you could definitely look at Rookie of the Year is the one that I took a look at, like what rookies are off to a good start. And right now it's probably Aaron Sebia has been the best one. And I think that you've also had a surprisingly good start from Zach Britton.
Totally did not expect him to be in the league this year.
No, did not see that coming. As far as MVP goes, Matt Kemp, Joey Votto, one of those guys, I would think.
I think Miggy's got it locked up in the AL. I saw him play a couple weeks ago or a week ago, and he was the most frightening player I've ever seen in my life. First at bat, 2-run home run. Second at bat, 2-run home run.
Yeah.
Like,
he's been crushing it.
He just is scary. Scary good.
Yeah, he's really been locked in.
So locked in.
62, 774.
Yeah. I mean, barring an injury to him or another trip with James Buchanan, I just don't see anybody else in the AL even coming close to him. I mean, yeah, maybe one of the Texas bats, but he's just shown that he can do it in the past, and I just don't think anybody can catch him. He just looks like he's in the zone this year.
Start We'll have to see if Kemp can hold up, because Kemp and Votto right now are both off the string starts. Kemp adding a little more speed. Votto's a little more, had a little more bop.
How old is Kemp? Is he 27 now?
Let's see. Matt Kemp, a.k.a. the Bison. He's 26 years old.
Oh, boom. Look at that. So this could be the breakthrough season for Matty Kemp.
Other guys off to a good start. Victorino looks pretty good in the early going. Howie Kendrick has been great. Jose Tabata.
Oh, God, and, yeah.
This was surprising.
Tabata, there were so many articles about how much muscle he put on over the summer. I mean, over the winter.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, he was definitely one of the ones that I was chiefly rolling my eyes about, because I was like, it just seemed like just, it turns out to be, maybe there's some truth to it, but I was like, really? Him?
Yeah, who would have known? Jose Tabata doubled down.
Yeah.
The best pitcher, I think, in baseball so far, you could argue it, but I think that it might be Jaime Garcia.
He's up there. King Felix in the AL has been pretty nasty.
15 innings, one earned run. 18 strikeouts against 3 walks.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
But he tossed one complete game, so maybe he hasn't tossed 2. I guess that we didn't knock against him. Jared Weaver, Felix Hernandez, Brett Anderson, Danny Hare, and Lincecum. All those guys are doing well. Edwin Jackson, Matt Harrison.
E-Jack.
There's a lot of pitchers off to good starts, but I think Jaime Garcia is number one so far.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say definitely in the NL, he has it locked in right now, and King Felix is definitely looks like the cat's pajamas in the AL. I mean, he had like a rough start, his last start, and still managed to eke out like 8 innings and only giving up like 2 runs or something, and he couldn't find the strike zone for a while. It was unbelievable. I've never seen somebody fight their way out and then continue on to cruise through a quality start and a win. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, he's just thrown 16 nasty innings so far. Only 11 strikeouts for him, but only against 3 walks, so that's pretty good.
Wow.
I think the leader in strikeouts so far, let me double check this, but I think the leader might be Jared Weaver. Oh, yeah, Jared Weaver has 27 strikeouts. The next highest is a couple guys.
He has 27 strikeouts. Does he already have 3 starts? Is that what's... That seems really high.
3 starts. But that's more than anybody else. Yeah. 15 strikeouts in his first start.
Wow.
And then 16 in the next 2.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
So those are the... Yeah, I mean, those are the players that look the best. They look like they have the... are off to the best starts. But it's early, but it's also, you know, we got a good week and a half, almost 2 weeks in, so some things are starting to take shape.
Yeah. Do you want to go over the scoreboard from last week?
Yeah. I think we should probably turn to the LAWV scoreboard. So we broke down all the scores here. Some expected things and some very surprising outcomes this week. I don't know. Where do you think we should start?
We can start with you. Tell us about FC, your matchup.
Yeah, I played FC week 1, and my matchups with FC over the years have been very fierce. We've had a lot of 10-9 games, or games that sort of came down to the last game, or the last game of the week. A lot of very competitive games, and this one was also very close, although the score wasn't super close. Across the board, all the categories were close.
Yeah.
And LM just kind of got ahead and stayed ahead. FC was sort of struggling by the end of the week, like Thursday, Friday night. And then offense bounced back over the weekend, and so he closed it up to 13-8. But LM just was a little too much for him this time, I think. And we had some... I mean, I sent John Lackey out there to get annihilated.
Yeah, I was going to say...
Bargett, who I thought would be a good spot starter, he got blown up. So I had some rough spots, and I only got like 5 hits on Sunday. But I built up enough over the course of the week, and I had 2 complete games, which didn't hurt.
No, that does not hurt. I mean, early on you struggled. You were struggling. You got down early, and then you came back.
We were both just like hitting. When the first 5 or 6 days, our offenses were just absolutely mashing.
Yeah.
And then his offense dropped off a little bit, and my pitching was able to catch up, and I took the lead. And then once my offense dropped off, luckily I had enough cushion that I was still able to win. But, I mean, for me, really, it was Howard. It was Rasmus and Hayward. And then Anderson and Gallardo were both nasty pitching. So even though I lost Ubaldo and no Utley, obviously, right now, I was able to still beat a pretty tough rival. But there was one thing that I was actually really disappointed in, because I felt like I could have won by more, except that on Sunday, I thought I was going to have my trump card. Like, Sunday night, I'm down 2 hits, I'm tied in runs, and now I'm going to have A-Rod come out, and he's just going to, like, kick ass and go 2 for 4, and, like, I'm going to get all these points back. And A-Rod is a scratch from the lineup at the last minute. They're like, he's sick, flu-like symptoms.
God, A-Rod strikes again.
I'm very suspicious about this, because over the weekend, I went out to dinner with my family for my mom's birthday, and at this restaurant we were at was A-Rod and Cameron Diaz. And this is where they were dining on their Friday night in Boston. And meanwhile, I had heard that A-Rod, basically my future brother-in-law's sister is like a fine art decorator and is working on Madonna's apartment. And she's just like, not 5 days ago, Madonna and A-Rod come walking in. And she's, like, showing him the apartment. And then they, like, go upstairs and don't come back for a while. So my theory is that A-Rod is just, like, boning too much. And he was boned out and he couldn't play on Sunday. He just had a weekend of sexual gymnastics with Cameron Diaz, and he would let the team down.
So wait a second. How does the New York media not know that A-Rod took a day off to bone starlets? I mean,
I don't know.
I feel like
symptoms.
That's crazy.
This is just my personal theory. So there's a black mark in his record. It was a pretty good week for LM.
What happened to FC? They got
FC just kind of, I mean, FC didn't have a bad week. He just kind of ran into a tough spot. His offense did fall off a little bit at the end. But over the weekend, every time I checked the score, I felt like Nurko hit 2 home runs, or Carlos Beltran hit 2 home runs, like, or Nick Markakis. He had a bunch of guys that, like, went off. I mean, Canerco is having a ridiculous year so far. So he definitely had some pieces, but my concern about him going into the year was that there was a lot of guys in the offense that I didn't necessarily trust, and that kind of manifested itself. Like, Bruce is off to a rough start, and some other dudes like that. So he did also suffer a lot of injuries on his pitching staff, because Granke's out, Morrow's rehabbing, Jorge De La Rosa had a blister. He had a couple guys that, like, went into games and pitched, like, 5.2 innings and got pulled.
Yeah.
So he didn't have a lot of guys go deep into games, and it all just kind of added up for him.
He had a couple bullpen blow-ups, too. I mean, Soria...
Oh, yeah, he had, like, closer meltdown.
Yeah, Soria gave up 4 against the White Sox, and I think Axford also gave up... He gave up four against the Reds. So, I mean, that right there will kill you, because that's 8 runs in less than 2 innings. That's brutal. And 2 blown saves. So, I mean, that sucks.
He had Takashi Saito get blown up and, like, went on the DL or something like that, so he cut him. So he got hit. He basically, his pitchers got him off too deep to start, and then his bullpen just completely undermined him.
Stumbled quite a bit.
He, you know, very quickly got in there, made some changes on the pitching staff. So we had, like, Tim Collins from Kansas City now, who looks like a pretty good setup man.
Yeah.
And he's tinkering around the edges to kind of fix some of the problems that popped up in the first week. So there's nothing that happened that would make me think that he has long-term, you know, I think, you know, he's still...
He has Jordan Walden on his team. Did he snag him in the off season, or is that?
I believe he may have snagged Jordan Walden, like, after he got knocked out of the playoffs last year, or late in the season last year.
Because that's a great...
You definitely had Jordan Walton, like, over the entire winter.
Yeah. That's a great snag. Great snag.
And I feel like it was during the play. Like, I feel like I went looking for him during the playoffs or leading up to the playoffs, and I was like, damn, Saul already has him. At the time, he had Alexi Ogando, too. He had, like, picked up some pretty nasty holdsmen with potential. But he hung on to Walton, and he was rewarded there.
Seriously. All right. Well, who are you playing this week?
Yeah. Oh, man, I have Banana Belt.
Banana Belt, and FC is where?
This is how good Banana Belt is.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, we can talk about that. He matched up against the Ship last week. And,
oh, my God.
And the Ship hung mightily for a long time. I mean, up until late in the week, it was only like a three-point game. You know, I think the last time I saw it relatively close was probably Friday, I think, when we were talking about it. And at that point, the Ship was in there, and probably would have beaten a lot of teams during the week. But by the time Sunday rolled around and a couple big games from some of Rick's guys and the Ship cooled off, it got ugly. And he ended up winning 17-4, one tie.
I mean, the line that Annabelle put up, it's absolutely astonishing. It's like across the board, just dominance.
Both sides.
Speed, yeah. plus great ratios, stolen bases, and then great pitching.
Yeah. He put up 14 home runs and 12 stolen bases. Batting average over 300. Slugging over 500. He got 7 wins. He got a sub-2 ERA, a shade over 1 whip. His batting average against was just a little over 2. I mean, shut it.
That, and he gave 4 home runs, right?
Yeah.
In like a week and a half.
Yep. I mean, hopefully we'll be saying that he is, you know, Mr. April, but, you know, I don't think so. It just bodes... Doesn't bode well for the rest of us.
Well, the thing is, if you look at who's dominating for him, it's some dudes that are, like, long-time BB. Like, Prince Fielder's having a great season.
Yeah.
And you know, so other guys like that. Like, Ian Kinsler is off to a great start. But then, he's got Jaime Garcia.
Yeah.
Like, the pitcher in the league just traded for. And he's got Miguel Montero, who he just traded for, who's been one of the best catchers, if not the best. So... considering those are both guys that used to be on my team, that makes me sad. But it just shows how good DB, what a good DB start is. And Mothership would have, his hitting wasn't that great. Like, we know his hitting can be better than it was. But his pitching was great.
Yeah, he got a 3 ERA and a 1.1 or 1.2 whip.
And he loses 7-4.
Yeah, I mean.
Like, he got absolutely destroyed because just of how good DB was.
He had 6 wins. I mean, he had 10 quality starts. I mean, you look at the Ship and you think, that's a pretty good week. Nope, not good enough. Not good enough against...
Yeah, not when you're playing BB. So yeah, I'm just like, I was like, should I try to pick up a guy that can steal bases? Like, there's no possible way that I'm going to beat Banana Belt and stolen bases.
No.
I mean, he's definitely cultivated a particular genius, and it seems to definitely be working in his favor right now.
I mean, he had 3 players with over 3 steals. I mean, Ichiro, Reyes, and Pagan all put up 3, 3, and 4. It's just crazy. I guess it's 10 days, but still.
The team is awesome. So I'm just, like, going to hang on for dear life. Like, there was a time when I was checking the scores, and I looked at BB, and I, like, compared my own line to BB, and I'm like, I've been losing 18, or, like, 11 to 8. I'm like, I could live with that. But from there, my numbers fell off.
Right.
So I haven't looked at it. I'm, like, afraid to look at what it would have been. But he would have probably beat me just as bad as he beat my shit.
I think he would have beat me worse. I'm just looking at it. I mean, it would not have gone well for me. Those offensive numbers are just too good.
Yes, I'm glad I'm getting it out of the way. Hopefully that's the only time we have to play this year. I fear we probably have to play again.
I'm sure I cursed you as the scheduling guru.
Oh, no, that's it. This is it. After this tweet, I don't have possibly be again. Unless we both make the playoffs and face each other. Obviously, I'm sort of jumping the gun here, but it seems like he's going to be a team that's going to be tough to play this year. But due to the rotation, BB probably has to play at least a couple teams in our division twice, right? Probably, like, WAPO. At this point, that's just, like, my main lens upon this matchup is just pure fear of Banana Belt. So, Mothership will bounce back. Mothership, this is definitely a low point for Mothership. He'll come back from this.
He's got a tough road. He's got to play. He's got to play FC this week, so it doesn't get easier. But I think he'll probably fare better against FC than he did this week. Very unlucky.
Mothership gets him twice. Mothership plays him twice this season, and so that's not helpful for him.
All right. Well, what else? Who else we got? What else happened? So last week, VR.
PMS versus VR. This to me was the most shocking game of the week. I knew that PMS was going to juggle through bench guys, but I didn't realize that he was going to get such great results out of it.
I mean, so we had a correction last week, and we talked about how he's going to just get the best guy available unless it's the best player at the position. Otherwise, everybody's expendable at every position unless it's one of his, you know, Pantheon guys.
Yeah, I know. Like, I was talking to FC, and he said, I was like, whoa, like, all these roster moves with PMS, like, this is amazing. Are you watching this? And he was just like, yep. It takes a little while to find the 25th man. And I don't think that's what it is. I think that basically Rob is just saying, like, the last five spots of my lineup change on a daily basis.
I think he's literally going to take the best matchup at every spot, unless it's the, unless it's the best player.
So maybe he has a core of, like, 15 to 20 guys.
Maybe not even that many. Maybe it's only 10, you know.
And the bottom of it just, you know, rotates.
Yeah, based on matchups. I think he's looking at those daily notes and, you know, looking at pitching matchups and just making a lot of ballsy calls. I like it.
If you see PMS, he's leading the league in hits, runs, doubles, RBI, pitcher strikeouts, and quality starts.
Well, yeah.
So that's just that's like calling guys in there and like having more at-bats and having more innings pitched.
Yeah.
And more games than anybody else. And then hitting on the guys you pick.
Yeah, he's a day trader. It's awesome. I love it.
And then he's got Joey Votto, who's like, as we discussed earlier, absolutely crushing it.
Yeah. Yeah. What is he betting? 455?
Yeah, 455 with a 548 on base percentage.
That's unbelievable.
Like better than a quick flip that he gets on base.
Unbelievable. And the sad thing is for VR, I mean, VR didn't put up a bad week. He didn't put up a bad week at all.
Yeah. VR has a good week and loses 16-4.
I mean,
he had some sad notes among his performance, but some of his dudes, like Beckett, threw a great game on Sunday night. Ryan Braun looks really good. Victorino, we mentioned earlier, is off to a good start. Trevor Cahill looks good. But yeah, VR just gets hammered by PMF and drops to what, second worst in the division in front of only Centrals.
Yeah, I mean it was he only barely missed out on winning the ignominious prize.
So he starts out the season. I guess he was a half game ahead of Mothership. So he starts 4-16. Mothership starts 4-17. A couple of good Christian Temperance U teams ventured across into the ASL and just got absolutely destroyed.
And he suffered a bummer of an injury. I mean, last time we talked about his obsession with second baseman, and we read some comments from the league about his Japanese second baseman, Nishioka. His leg was broken this week.
He responded to the comments that were made, I think it was in the last one, about his pickup of Nishioka. He was like, listen, like, Nishioka is going to get me steals, he's going to do this, that, and everything. Right now that just looks like a bad decision.
Well, in the
he could have had a closer, he could have had, I mean, his bullpen was terrible the first week.
Oh, God.
And there's, like, plenty of good value guys that he could have added. He didn't need Nishioka. And now hindsight is 20/20, obviously. But with Nishioka going down with an injury, it was a bad decision to sign Nishioka, basically.
Well, and to make matters worse, it was Unbe, the taker of Cano, who who took out Nishioka with Swisher. With Swisher
That's
slide.
Right. Chad sent Swisher out and was like, sweep the leg.
Sweep the leg. Like.
Sweep the leg. And down goes Nishioka.
Yeah.
So that was just like, just rubbing salt in the wound of VR's really bad defeat. But I wanted to sort of transition from here to look at Aguapo versus BI.
Mm.
This is one of the few in the sort of cross division. All the other games are cross division games. So this is one of the few wins for the Christian Temperance U. Guapo 13, BI 8. And this puts Guapo into a tie for first in the CTU.
Crazy.
And so he had a good week. He was really psyched. As we discussed earlier, BI was like the king of the meltdown starters. Edwin Jackson had a great game. Carlos
Eject.
Really well.
Eject destroyed.
Eject was just slaying. I remember it was like during the workday.
Yeah, I IMG being like, Eject has 10 strikeouts so far.
He was like mowing down the Rays, which just makes it all that much worse how bad Daisuke pitched tonight. But he went out there and just mowed them down. And meanwhile, like, BI is like, all right, Pelfrey, get out there. And like, Ryan Howard hit like 8 home runs. Just like, every day, Guava would be like, you get in there. And the guy, like, other than Volquez, like, the guy would go in there and do good. And then BI would be like, is that you? Like, it's your day to go. And that guy would go out and just poop his pants.
Yeah, it's so sad. He did have some good players, though. I mean, BI had, you know, Lomo and Kendrick, we talked about earlier.
Lomo looked great, yeah.
Yeah.
Howie Kendrick, I mentioned earlier, Howie Kendrick has been the best second baseman so far. Coco Crisp looks good. He was a guy that almost was the subject of a bidding war between Guapo and BI if Guapo hadn't gotten born. He looks good. Juan Pierre, but like, you know, both of these teams, the thing is, I think we're trying to keep in context all along here, is that both Guapo and BI actually had pretty bad weeks, statistically speaking. And I ran down today, this is why I want to transition to this, I ran down today a comparison of Vicious Rumors versus El Guapo. Vicious Rumors got hammered, El Guapo won, but if those two teams played each other, and obviously there would be a different strategy, the scores wouldn't be exactly the same, but VR would have 13 and Guapo would have 4. So VR has some, you know, there's some bright side in VR's loss, and there's some, you know,
takes a little bit of the shine off the off. Yeah.
That said, if Guapo goes out and plays even better this week against LU, you know, he could win. So it's a week-to-week thing.
It's also, yeah.
But
I mean, like,
I think it's interesting. When you look at each matchup, you can't just look at who won, and you have to also look at, like, what the numbers
right.
were. Tell us about the closest game of the week, which was Akeet versus Lacey.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it was a fun one. I enjoyed it. It was, I actually got to see a lot of the players play. I went to a Yankees-Detroit game. And so I got to see a lot of my bats go, and I got to see Miggy go, and so it was fun. It was fun. It was a good first week of baseball. We both offenses started out really hot, and then they cooled off, and Lacey got ahead of me early with his pitching staff, and then I crawled back in with really low ratios, and then finally caught him on the cumulatives, and then my offense continued.
Yeah, I remember there was a day where he summoned Porcello.
Yeah, he threw out Rick Porcello for two starts, actually. Second one didn't go quite as badly as the first one. First one, we were both looking at sub-2 ERAs and a whip sub-1, and he threw out Rick Porcello. That changed in about the fourth inning of Rick Porcello's start, put up a 5 spot, and then LU just kind of threw the kitchen sink at it to try to out cumulative me, but he didn't quite have as many arms as I did, so I managed to keep ahead of him on most of those things. But in the last day on Sunday, I mean, Miggy kept driving that offense, Miggy and Scott Rowland, man, and Cameron Maven over the weekend just strung together hit after hit after hit. And in fact, they did a score correction on Sunday night after the last game. They went back and corrected the score.
Go to bed on Sunday night, and the score is what?
I think it was 12 to 8 or something, or something along those lines. Or I was up,
man.
And they flipped two stats, and we ended up at 9-9, and they tied one. So
you go to bed with a nice, healthy win, and then you wake up with a tie.
Yeah, so they flipped batting it because they gave Cameron Maven one more hit on Friday. And because of that, he got one more. He went up and beat me in average and on base. No, not on base. Slugging, I think. And he got an extra RBI. No, he already had the RBI, I guess. But, yeah. It didn't. It wasn't sweet. But it was also, I mean, it's pretty much how the week should have gone because both teams were playing well. I mean, he had King Felix out there. Miggy was doing well. Scott Rowland was killing.
He just stormed right back into the mix.
He was never, I mean, that team was a good team. I mean, I'm happy to leave there with a tie, but it was. I thought I could steal a win. I thought I could steal a win, and I came close.
It's hard to see how he won the most likely to miss the playoffs award. Now, I happen to know he voted for himself.
I voted for him out of spite. I voted for him out of spite, so because I was playing him, so I wanted to send him some bad juju, but it might have backfired on me.
Miggy was like, oh yeah? You want to give me the gap? Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, on the plus side for Akeef, I mean, I said that he had some great, outstanding players. I mean, Miggy, frightening, man. Scott Rowland has been really good for him. Cameron Maven as well. But then for me, my flyer and Alex Gordon is paying off.
Yeah, to be really excited about because they were like, nobody believed in them except for me type pickups.
Yeah, Alex Gordon, my golden ticket.
Alex Gordon went off.
He's my Willy Wonka bar. I'm going to the chocolate factory with that guy. I mean, what can I say? I had Soriano on the bench, and I looked over, and I saw another left fielder, and I said, I'd rather take a flyer on Alex Gordon. Sorry, Soriano.
Yeah, I think you made the right decision there.
He tore the cover off the ball in the spring, so it wasn't that crazy. And I figured if he didn't work out, then I would just cut him. But so far, he's also batting basically in the third spot or the fourth spot every game. And that lineup has actually been producing runs. So he's been getting the opportunities and he's been putting them away. And he also walks a fair amount, which is pretty nice. So I've been enjoying it.
Ramirez is off to a good start as well.
Yep, he's doing well. I'm thankful that last season was mainly just injury related still. Teixeira started off strong and then faded. And I look forward to a long April where he puts up a 150 batting average, I'm sure.
How close is Kendry to coming back?
Well, I read something troubling today where he was running on the treadmill with some device that took the weight off of his leg. So it sounded like it was a setback, but they didn't really explain it, and so I don't know. I'm not as hopeful as I was. I thought he'd be back by the beginning of next month. But now I think it's probably going to be more like the middle of next month, if I had to guess. Just cause...
Let me just interject with a game-breaking update. Unfortunately, Sam Fulk has not yet hit for the cycle, but he does have two doubles, a triple.
God, why didn't he stop at first? God, he's such a gamer. He's such a gamer, he turned second. What a joker. He could have just been like, I can't make it.
Two doubles for Fault and a triple and a homer.
God damn, that's amazing. What a great kid. Yeah, he's great. I'll write into the alumni notes.
So Akeef is the winner of the Torpedoes, the most likely to make the playoffs. How do you feel? Do you feel like you're going to achieve that promise?
Well, the last time I won this award, I won the title. So that bodes well.
So that's a good time.
Yeah. And so hopefully that pattern holds. I feel like the team is strong. It could be stronger. I would like more depth in the offense. My pitching has been okay, but not as good as I really wanted it to be. But that's the way it always is. I managed to pick up another bat today. Anibal Sanchez lost his bid to remain in the rotation and picked up the red hot Niger Morgan.
The explosive Niger.
Yeah, I mean, I figured I might as well pick up the guy who wants to play in a baseball city. So why not Niger? So
yeah, I think if you're, you know, all things being equal, you want to go with Niger.
I mean, at best, you'll probably just spell Granderson against the lefties and give him some time to get his swing. But I mean, hey.
Yeah, but it's nice that that platoon.
And I think he's going to qualify for right field pretty soon, so that'll be nice. He'll be able to be in two outfield positions. He He's got 8 starts in right field, so he only needs 2 more. So then he'll be a CF RF, which is perfect. It allows me to slot him in for Granderson and for Ethier. So that'll be nice. A little bit extra depth in the outfield. And now we're playing BI, who brings us back full circle to where we started. And
sadistic enough to look to see who had the roughest week, the first week, but I might guess it'd be BI.
I don't know. Well, Snaddy was up there.
No, actually, that's not true. I forgot about.
We can talk about Snaddy right now. I mean, he played the Flash and he got blown up.
Oh, my God.
19-1. And and it did not go well. His OBP was under 3. Slugging was under 4. Average was 2.25. He put up some power numbers. Decent power, actually. But in general, it just did not work out. 3 quality starts is all he managed to scrap together. And which sucks for him. Because actually today he's actually thrown out 3 decent starters today in the matchup. I was just looking at that. In today's game, it's like he probably wishes he could have had at least one of those go last week. But
you could like backdate one of those starters.
Exactly, because now he's got, because in a weird twist of scheduling, the Snatchels and the Flash play a doubleheader to start the season.
Whoa.
Yeah, look at that.
Oh my God, that's crazy. That's
and so
awesome.
And so Snaddy is getting his revenge to start the second week by he's got Dallas Braden, who went 6 strong with only 1 earned run and 7 Ks. Pretty good. He had Ryan Dempster go 6 and a 6 1/3 and only gave up, well, he gave up 4 runs, so actually he gave up an extra run, so I looked, but he had 9 Ks. And then he had Mark Burley go 8 and give up none. So he's got 17 Ks in 20 innings now. Whip under 1.
Yeah, 20 innings, 17 Ks.
That's great.
5 earned runs. Does a 2.21 ERA with a 0.93 whip.
That's a great way. That's a great Monday. That is
more than halfway to the minimum.
Yeah, that's a great Monday. So that's a good bounce back. I like to see that. So hopefully Snaddy can have his revenge in round 2 of a massive doubleheader to start the season.
Yeah, and Flash seems to have left Matt Lattice on the bench, and he's currently staked to a 2-0 lead in the game against the Reds.
Ooh.
He's on the D. He's still L. Yeah. Lattice off to, I mean, it's only 1 inning, but staked to a lead anyway.
That's painful.
Maybe that's just a rehab start for Flash. So, Natty, at one point, I looked at the score, it was like 19-0. He did scrape together a win. I love that they're playing a doubleheader. That is awesome. Snaddy can't be that psyched about it. He's like, oh, I get to play Matt Kemp and Rick Halladay again.
You can't really turn the page when it's the same team you're facing.
Matt Kemp with a 1150 OPS.
Well, if it makes him feel better, Akeep is playing BI this week, but then back to LU immediately. So I have an LU sandwich. So there are some quirks in the schedule. Basically, this season there was a different number of weeks than in previous seasons, which meant
like long weeks.
Yeah, so I had to kind of rework the whole algorithm system that I used to schedule in the past. So it created some weird quirks like this, which I apologize for, but I also think they're kind of funny. So
you guys, no, I love the doubleheader. I think, I mean, I'm not in it, but I feel like I play FC again before too long. Like, I just played FC, and I think I play him, you know, in a month or something like that. So, the last matchup that we haven't discussed yet is, if I'm not mistaken, is Unbelievable versus Delicious.
Yep. Chad, who also got himself a new job since the season started.
That's right.
So he started a new career that did not hold him back from throwing out quite a lineup. Doing quite well.
I think he had a good week. It was a good week for NB.
Yeah. His offense was less than stellar, but his pitching line is one of the better ones I've seen in a long time. I mean, if anybody could have beaten BB in the pitching line, it was NB. he's pretty much there. He would have beaten him if
both
it was
just quantity and quality.
Yeah, he got eight quality starts, 85 strikeouts. He got only 5 home runs, just like Banana Belt. A sub-2 batting average, just a shade over 2 ERA, a whip under 1, and a K to B at 3.5. I mean, can't really ask for more than that. And eschewing the saves, he ended up with 7 holds, going Holdsman, which is always a good strategy when you want to save some money and go for Ks.
I apologize. The keep it best with the league, 3.9. K for B, rather, in the league. But Unbeat was tied for 2nd.
Yeah, I mean...
Unbeat had Jared Weaver just go out and dominate. He had Cano pour it on. The Upton brothers looked good. Adam Lind started the season strong. He's got to be feeling good about his offense and his pitching right now.
Yeah.
He just needs to fill out that offense a little bit. I think definitely got a shot to cause some trouble this year.
I like the team. I mean, I'd be interested to see how that pitching staff holds together as he moves forward, because obviously no pitching staff can put together that kind of line week in and week out, but I expect it's going to be pretty solid every week, though. I mean, it's not like it's a fluke line. I mean, looking at the guys, Kuroda is solid. Weaver is amazing. Lilly is also very good. I mean, he's got all the pieces. And the fact that he suffered, I don't know, I guess he didn't, maybe he held back Hughes, I didn't look, but Hughes had two blow-ups in the past week and still managed to pull it through. Jeremy Guthrie's looked pretty damn good for the Orioles, so.
I mean, that's the thing, I mean, in the past, I think he said Jeremy Guthrie is, like, kind of an important starter, and now he's, like, the 6th starter.
Exactly, he's like a spot starter. He's a spot starter if he needs him kind of guy.
Apparently has not thrown an inning for Unbeat this
year. So great holdback. That's some good managing.
He's been off to a rough start. Unbeat's like, listen, kid, get your act together. You know, start throwing darts, and you can pitch for us again. But for now, get out of the way. I'm not giving the ball to Todd Lilly. Then up there.
As a game update right now, it looks like Rafael Betancourt's doing his best to try to blow the game for the Rockies, or did his best to try to blow the game in an innings worth.
Not a good day for Unbeat. I mean, I can't talk my offense. It's been crappy today so far. It's early. I think it's important to just let things play out until you get to maybe like Thursday or Friday, and then you can kind of see what's up.
Ooh. He has an Ellsbury home run on the bench. That's painful.
Finally just ended.
Well, there was a late rally by the Sox. A late, like, 3-run rally by the Sox.
Sam Fold misses a cycle by exceeding the cycle.
That's unbelievable to me.
Exceeds the cycle. I mean, I guess it's true. You could do, you know, like, if you're one of those guys that hits 4 home runs in a game, that's better than a cycle. Ellsbury, it's a crazy game. Ellsbury hit a home run. Adrian Gonzalez tripled. As I said, Fold went off. I don't think were there any stolen bases in this game. I'm not sure that there were any. So, that's a wacky game. And the Rays and the Red Sox now have identical 2-8 records.
Ugh, that's not pretty. Not pretty. So Unbeat is playing VR this week.
After both of them, I think.
So that's good, yeah, exactly. There's some bad blood out there now that we've got the trade. We've got Nishioka's injury. I like this.
The Cobra Kai move against Nishioka. And there's definitely blood in the water now.
So that should be good. And then DLBP unfortunately is facing the red hot PMF. So.
Well, PMF again. I mean, I haven't looked at the totals, but his ad drops are off the charts. I'm trying to pull that up now. Seems like normal numbers, like 13, 14, PMF, 28.
Wow, he's got 25 drops, 28 acquisitions.
So but he's leading in activations.
Yeah.
He's leading in acquisitions.
It's unbelievable.
He also made 3 trades that were sort of preseason trades as opposed to off-season trades. Or at least traded 3 players, I guess is probably a more accurate way of putting it. He's just jamming. I mean, that's the best way I can explain it. It's just
That's crazy. I love it.
He probably had way more players play in games than anybody else.
Just by the way, to give you some perspective, last year, PMF had 53 acquisitions total.
So he's halfway there.
Yeah, that was a whole season. The most acquisitions last season was by the LU, which was 99. The most drops was also by LU at 100. And
I think you'll see strategic moves. Like, I'm going to throw in a bunch of holdsmen, or I'm going to do that. Like, that might bear fruit in an individual matchup, but what's crazy about what's going on with PMF is that it's bearing fruit like on a league-wide basis.
Yeah.
That he has basically the one of, like, if not the best, it's like him and PMF. It's him and BB. So if not the best team in the league, like one of the two best, through, like, strategy.
Yeah, active management.
So that's, like, amazing. So now I'm just like, whoa. Like, PMF, you could see as the voting for the Torpedoes went on, PMF picked up a couple votes, or at least one vote, just because people were like, whoa.
Oh, yeah, he should be.
Like, I think the 13th vote was for PMF.
It's got to be.
And then that, like, gave it to Akeet because nobody could catch you. But it was just, like, that was the latest breaking vote because you had to sit up and take notice when you see a performance like that. To give you an idea of how my game with Banana Belt is shaping up, today I had Verlander go out and toss a complete game loss. 9-inning complete game loss. Every inning, I think he was like, I'm done, right? And Leland's like, get back in there. Like, lights up another cigarette. And Verlander goes out and, like, throws another 20 pitches. but he has a great game, like, shuts down the dudes on BB that are on the Rangers. Feliz ends up getting a save out of it. I get a complete game. I'm like, sweet. I'm off to an awesome start. Like, hammer thrown down. And Jose Reyes is like, oh, yeah, okay, that's cool. And goes out and hits two triples. Like, just as I'm thinking, like, oh, nice. I got the drop on BB. Like, I got a nice early lead. He's like, oh, yeah. One player, two triples.
Unbelievable.
I think I had two triples all week left, or like in 10 days, two or three triples.
That's unbelievable.
So, I'm like, I got complete games. He's like, yeah, I got triples. So, BB is looking like books to be reckoned with.
While we're looking at this transaction page, I think we should point out that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, 8 teams have anteed. There are still 6 teams who have yet to ante.
The antes are here. So we're still, okay. So
we're still short 6.
Still outstanding antes from the Banana Belt, the Mothership, Unbeleaguerable, the Luscious Bitch Pies, El Guapo, and Snatcherals. Please deposit $50 into the bank of the LOWV immediately.
Yeah. Otherwise, well, I don't know. What kind of action could we take if they don't?
Yeah, I mean, I think we should, like, we should give them some time. And this might be hard to enforce, but I would love to just stop talking about the teams that don't pay. Be like, and this team bought by the score of this to this, and they've not paid their ante. And moving on to the other teams. Not that it would, I mean, if somebody isn't going to ante, they're not going to do it just because we stop talking about them. But sure. Whatever we can do to help.
What are we going to give him? Are we going to give him a month from today?
Yeah, like, I think if you haven't paid your ante by May, we're going to just start boycotting your team. So, I know these teams want to pay in to have their share. They all have, they're all long-standing members of the team, of the league, who have some good teams. So, I think El Guapo, you know, just got his first win. He's got haters on the podcast trying to talk him down, ante up. And then beat Lacey Underalls, and then everyone will shut up.
I mean, gotta pay to play. Gotta pay to play.
And V is, you know, just got this new sweet job, so he's good paying.
He doesn't
want. BB has like a sweet bachelor pad with FiOS.
Oh yeah.
Like we were telling him, you know, like don't steal internet. You know, you can't count on that because if you want to be champion, and he's like, I gotta go home. FiOS guy is coming. That's the will of a champion.
Wow, I love it.
He has, like, only the finest internet access.
I love it.
FC was telling me that on Sunday or Saturday that BB was, like, infuriated because Snatty was lying down and the Flash was running away with the division.
He sent me a text. He sent me an irate text in the morning.
What did he say?
I don't have my phone on me right here, but basically, come on now, Snatty. That line is, like, embarrassing or something. It was. I woke up to that text.
He was definitely starting a smear campaign against Snatty for not executing. Meanwhile, Snatty was, like, high on paint fumes from painting his new kitchen, which he has, like, a totally renovated house now. It's, like, absolutely amazing. But it's just him in there. Tons of paint cans, like, for appliances wrapped up in plastic. The shiniest, best appliances you've ever seen. And then, like, these walls that need to be painted, and then a thin layer of dust, like, over everything in the house. So, he's not, I think he's just focused on upgrading the stadium, and not as much with, like, the product on the field right now.
All right. Well, I think we gotta wrap it up.
We'll have to, touch base soon and see how things are developing. Obviously, 1 week in the books, but a lot more baseball to be played here.
Yes. All right, man. Well, we'll check in again soon.
All right,
good luck to you.
Sounds good. Talk to you later.
Bye.